Brothers and sisters and friends, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. And I ask that you pray for me for a little while, that I might be able to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to call your attention tonight to two texts of Scripture, the Lord being my helper. And the first one is we're going to go to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Now, I want you to understand something tonight and give you the relationship that the apostle, that Timothy had with the apostle Paul. The apostle Paul was Timothy's teacher. He was his mentor. He's the person that he went to whenever he needed advice. And I'm going to tell you tonight that any young preacher, I believe that he needs to, if you will, have the grace of God to start with. But I believe he also needs the person like the relationship that the Apostle Paul and the young preacher Timothy had. When he gets on to something that he don't know, go to somebody and ask, you know, say, what would you do? That's the kind of relationship that he had. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, I believe tonight that it's necessary. And the one thing tonight that sets us apart as individuals, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just believe Primitive Baptist people ought to be set apart. I can say that and go back to Georgia, but I still believe they ought to be set apart because they're different people together. All right, so it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Now, if I'm going to preach the word tonight, today I'm going to do two things. I'm going to preach the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe that's necessary to do. Because we rest tonight in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's done stands done forever. On the other hand, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something else that needs to be done. I believe that if I'm going to preach the word tonight, I'm going to preach the things that the Lord's people themselves ought to do, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, there's a difference in that. All right, so it says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's the first one. All right, I'm going to call your attention now. Let's go over here to the book of 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, this text of Scripture, again, has been described, if you will, as an invitation to repent. I got no fault with that. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, if there's ever a time in the history of the United States of America that they need to repent, it is right now. We need repentance right now. Whenever you look over the things that's happening in our society, whenever literally thousands of unborn babies are being, their life is being snuffed out every single day, there needs to be some repentance. Whenever a society gets to be, and I didn't look at my watch, but whenever a society as such as this, or a government, if you will, begins to allow same-sex marriages, we need some repentance. And I believe to start with, the Scripture teaches repentance. It says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, that's going to bring me to something else. I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm here to tell you tonight now, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to come back to this earth anymore and establish a kingdom. That kingdom is already here. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ rules over that kingdom today. All right, so it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I tell my folks at home, you know, you can't beat common sense in anything. And I've told this several times. I got a little part-time job. I drive a school bus for a daycare center. And one of the schools that I used to go to, this little boy was 5 years old now. 5 years old. Here I am sitting out there in that big yellow bus with the same kind of uniform on, and he'd be the first one out there every day. His reading skills was on a fifth grade level. His mathematical skills was on a fifth grade level. But he'd come out there every single day with me sitting where I was all the time, and he'd say, is this the bus that I get on? I said, yes, sir, it is. Well, when he'd get on, nobody there, me and him, he'd say, now, where do I sit? I'd say, take your pick, bud. Nobody here but us. You know what his problem was? As smart as he was, he didn't have any common sense. I'm here to tell you that you can't beat common sense, and even in studying the scripture. You know that? Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and here's where the common sense is. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is a text of scripture, by the way. Now notice, it said, I told you that it's, but the religious world is going to say that it's an invitation to repent. It is. The religious world, I mean, I can't fault that. The religious world is also going to say that that is an invitation to the Lord's people to walk in obedience. I can't fault that, because that's what the Lord's people today, if they're bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're born of the Spirit of God, then that's the very place that they ought to be walking. They ought to be walking in obedience to God. And by the way, you go to Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah chapter 1, I believe it's verse 21, it says, he that is willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. Now, here, I got some news for you folks. My wife and I have been married 51, I'm looking at it now to make sure I do it right, that we've been married 51 years. When we first married, she's put 90 pounds on me over the years. 90 pounds. I was so skinny that I could have hid behind a broom handle and disappeared. Now, common sense is going to tell me that the things that she has fed me over the years, if I'm sitting on the back patio smelling of it, I'm not going to get the same results if I would be sitting at her table eating it. Amen. Don't that make sense? Yes. Don't that make sense to you? That's why I'm telling you, I believe today that it's necessary. And well, let's go to one more. Let's go to the second chapter, I believe, is the Gospel of John, at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. Whenever Mary, his mother, made as good a statement, as wise a statement as he could, when he turned the water into wine, her wish was this: whatever he says, do, do it. My daddy had an expression that he used raising us kids. His expression was, plain talk is easy understood. And he talked to us sometimes pretty plain. You know, he said, this, I don't want you misunderstanding this. You understand that? Now, I believe plain talk. There's some things, by the way, in the gospel and in the Bible itself that's pretty plain talk. And some of it, people would have to try to misunderstand it. You know, can you agree with that? Some people will have to try to misunderstand it. Now, when you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let's read it. But there's nothing in that that the Primitive Baptist Church can't stand fast on. Amen. You know that? All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, what I want to do tonight, the Lord being my helper, I want to take each one of those phrases that's in that text of Scripture and see if they fit with the things that the Primitive Baptist Church has always stood for. And I believe they do. All right? Notice what it says. It starts out by saying this. It says, if my people. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does the Lord have a people? Yes, he does. Now, here's where the plain talk sometimes works good. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. Now here's the plain talk. And here is the very text that proves that he has a people. One of them, and I'm going to hopefully get to another or two, all right? In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ had to be born that way? He couldn't have been born any other way and been the Savior of this world. He couldn't have been. All right. And so it says that was of the Holy Ghost. So much, by the way, for denying the virgin birth. I mean, I'm not even going to go any further with that. I don't think I have to. All right. It says, now, here it is. Now, in verse 21. Now here's the people in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm going to give you a name that might not mean a whole lot to some, but does to some of you. One of them sitting here anyway, by the name of Elder Varn Marshall in deep South Georgia. And he made the statement, one of the better preachers of his day, and Brother Gus will verify that. He said, you know, there's not a greater place for the Lord's people to be than in the covenant wills and shalls of the Scripture. Not a greater place to be than that. And it comes out right here, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What does that text of Scripture tell us right there? That he don't save the world. He didn't save the world. He shall save his people. Now ask yourself tonight, does the Lord have a people? Yes, he does. In the Gospel of John, we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 9. Now, I believe the Lord's going to elect people, his people. Gospel of John 17, Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 9. He says, it seems odd right here to a lot of people, but it's not. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all of mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You know who's going to glorify the God the Father? His people. Those that have been brought into the, if you will, his fellowship, those that have been born of the Spirit of God, those are the ones it's going to glorify. Notice, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. I got some news for you tonight. The Lord does not love everybody. He does not love everybody. He doesn't love everything. You go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, I believe it is. There's a list of things that it plain out says the Lord hates. And you know what one of them is? He that soweth discord among the brethren. If there is ever a time, there is a war. I ain't got to tell anybody here tonight. There is a war on Christianity today. There is a war. Let's just bring it on down. Of course, I believe there's always been a war on Primitive Baptist people. You know why? Because of the things that they stand for. Because of the things that they stand for. But if there is ever a time when we as the Lord's people need to be standing together, it is right now. It is right now. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Now, common sense is going to tell me that now, again, in John chapter 17, don't it make sense to you that in that text of scripture, when he says, I pray not for them, but I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me. Don't it make sense to you that if the Lord loved those folks, he'd be praying for them? Don't you think he would? Therefore, get back now. Get back to that very text of scripture. If my people, I'm here tonight to tell you that the Lord has a people. Now let's go to the book of Romans. You know, sometimes some things will flash in front of you. These fellows may not do that. They may not do that kind of stuff. But sometimes even when I'm preaching, something will flash in front of me and say, why hadn't I done thought of that? Romans chapter 8, verse 35. And because of that, when that text of scripture says that, if he's got a people saved according to his own mercy and according to his own grace, it asks this question in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. And here's something that needs to be done. It needs to be said. Verse 30. Remember, he's got a people. He loves them with an everlasting love. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for a slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let me tell you something tonight, my friends. Life is not going to be rosy. It's not going to be. If it were, and you never faced anything, any kind of problems, any kind of pitfalls, any kind of this kind of stuff, that's going to be what makes heaven a greater place. Because all of this stuff behind you, see? All right, so in that text of Scripture then, it says, if my people. So I'm here to tell you tonight that the Lord's got a people. Notice what it says next. He says, which are called. I believe the Lord's people are called. Let's go again to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 8. And when I was working with a telephone company several years ago, FedEx man came in. FedEx man came in and was to deliver some stuff, and I was sitting there at the desk reading from the 8th chapter of Romans. On my time, by the way. I sat there reading from the 8th chapter of Romans. He walked up to me and he said, you got to be Primitive Baptist. And boy, I like to have had a heart attack when that man told me. He didn't know me from Adam. I said, well, yes, I am. But I want to know what gives it away. He said, Primitive Baptists are the only ones that reads from the 8th chapter of Romans. At least something gave me away on that, you see. But notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things, now it got into today, all men. This right here is all things. That's got to be rightly divided. Sometimes the all things refers to everything in its entirety. But I got news for you. Most of the time it don't. But it says in that text of Scripture in verse 20, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Notice. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know? And I believe today, and I've said this before, and I'll say it one more time. In the 45 years that I've tried to preach to the Lord's people, there's some habits that I have not been able to break. And one of them is pointing these fingers. But don't worry, they do not go off. Now, and he says in that text of Scripture, he says, for whom he did, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you're not going to convince me that text of Scripture and those all things is everything in its entirety. It's not. I believe it was 3 years ago we left this meeting and got on towards home. Was on into the state of Tennessee. And had a flat tire on the car. There we were, and I said, you know, I don't know if I can get this thing fixed or not. Sometimes you need to pay attention to a woman. You need to do that sometimes. Yeah. Sitting there trying to figure out what to do, and my wife said, oh, what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to punch this little button that says OnStar. We didn't worry about no thing after that. Now, I'm telling you tonight that things happen. But let's just say that if I get home and find out, God forbid, that our house is burnt, that the neighbors blowed up or what, that's not the all things that he's talking about. But it tells you what the all things are. And the very next text of scripture. Who shall separate us then in that verse 35 from the love of God? Now, he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know tonight who calls on God? His people calls on him, but it's those that are called of God that calls to God. Those that are called of God are the ones that calls to God. Again, we're going to go in again into the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now this text of scripture, by the way, was quoted today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us. Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, does that sound to you like we've got anything to do with it? No. But I'm here to tell you tonight that in that text of scripture, it says, if my people, which are called. And I believe when he calls them with a purpose. Also, the prophecy of Isaiah says, in describing that, it says that his ways are far above our ways. I'm going to give you an example tonight of the way God's much better than human beings are. I'm going to give you this fellow by the name of Jacob in the scripture. Now, the scripture describes, he is a scoundrel. You know that? Now, if it had been me, I'd have probably cast Jacob off and went to Esau. I don't know. But he didn't. And the reason he didn't is because he can do all things. Whatever he does stands forever. Psalms 113, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And I believe today that it pleases him and it calls him. It calls according to his purpose. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Now, can the Lord's people do that? I believe they can. I believe that they can humble themselves, and I believe it needs today to be done. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse number 10. And it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So it says, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Brother, he got right personal with that, didn't he? Real personal with that. I'm not even like that fella, and I'm glad of it. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and that even is wrong. You know that? With the widow's mite, she didn't brag about giving a tenth of what she had. You know what she did? She gave it all. She gave it all. It says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And this publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, which one of those two fellas, might not should say it that way, which one of those two brethren, if you will, humbled themselves? It sure wasn't the Pharisee bragging about everything that he, bragging about everything that he's done. So I believe tonight that that text of scripture, that the Lord's people, can humble themselves. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes we've got habit. Primitive Baptists have got, I'm going to be more critical of them because I've lived among them all my life. Was raised up in it. Some people think if you're not bowed on your knees right there in front of that, you can't pray. I got news for you. That is not the position of the body. But I believe it's the condition of the heart that makes people pray. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Do you know that today, now, we got to be careful with that one. Let's go to the book of the Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 5. And you're going to find a group, real group, short group of verses right there. And one of them says this. Chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Now, can we do that? Yes, we can. But I don't believe that a person has to pray in an audible voice for it to be heard. Way back yonder several years ago, I worked at one of the local funeral homes in town. And in those days, we had the ambulance service. One Sunday afternoon, it sounds bad, and it don't meant to be, but we'd done nothing all day long. See there how bad that sounds. Along about 5 o'clock, we got this emergency call out on one of the highways, been this bad wreck. We got out there and this little baby was had turned blue. Not moving, not breathing. We were trying to resuscitate the baby, and this woman told me, said, I have got to be right there. I told her, you got to get out of my way. She said, I've got to be right there praying for it. I said, yeah, I believe you do. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord can hear your prayer over here the same as he can right over here. I believe he can. Now, it says to pray without ceasing. I believe today, brethren, that a sincere desire of the heart is a prayer to God. All right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Who seeks his face? Let me tell you something. I believe that God's got some people that have never, it's been, I think, established already here today. The Lord's got some people that I believe going to be housed with heaven in heaven and immortal glory whenever this is over. That's never, ever had the opportunity to hear a Primitive Baptist sermon preached. I believe that the Lord's got people that he's redeemed. That's never heard the gospel preached, but they're going to be housed with him in heaven and immortal glory. They're going to be there because they're not going to be separated from God's love. But do you know the ones that seeks his face is those that he calls out to be his. Those that he calls out. so as now. He says, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, and pray and seek my face. I'm going to tell you today, through the years, I've seen some things that I would rather not see. And I'm going to tell you something, it might shock your modesty just a little bit. At one time in the history of the Primitive Baptist Church, it seemed to be that it was a popular thing to just split up. We've seen some of that. Seen a lot of it. What does it accomplish? It don't accomplish a thing in the world. When I'm standing for the same thing that these fellas are standing for, and these fellas are standing for from the state of Arkansas and other places here, I'm here to tell you that we better be standing firm and standing together. Standing together and seeking the face of God. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You think the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is through the years, they've had some wicked ways. If you don't believe it, you study. I've said all the time, if I were going to establish a Primitive Baptist church somewhere, I would not call it Corinth. You don't think they had some wicked ways in that thing? They did. But I'm here to tell you this, that I believe that the gospel is the very thing and the very tool in which they're to be used to straighten that out. The gospel is not to save us from heaven and immortal glory. The gospel is to save us for right now. Amen. For right now. And I believe it does. And to turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm here tonight to tell you that there's ever been a time when America needs healing. It's right now. With people pitted one against the other. And this isn't political, and I want you to understand that. But it's a terrible day when, whether you believe it or not, when Americans does not respect the office of the presidency. I'm telling you, we need some healing. But I'm here to tell you tonight, not only does America need some healing, but I believe the church needs some healing as well. Now, don't you go away, Marseille, and that Georgia preacher said something he didn't say. I believe the church, when the Lord Jesus Christ established it, he established it perfect. The way it should be. But you know what messed it up? It wasn't him. It's us. When we, brethren, can't get to the point where we can't forgive one another and look over each other for good and not for evil. You know, I may, in my teaching and preaching and studying, I may look at some text of scripture different from what you do. But I'll tell you this, as long as we can agree that we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's where we need to be. So, in places, more especially places in Georgia, Brother Gus will tell you the same thing. These places over there that they've split up over stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans, when they're all contending for the same thing, if we get to that point, we need some healing. So I'd say to you tonight, and I'm gone, Brother Gus, you get ready. I'm here to tell you tonight that if we as the Lord's people need to do this, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, we need to do that. We need to humble themselves, and we need to be continually praying one with the other and seeking the face of God. And God will hear. Aren't we thankful? You know, I worked 38 years with a telephone company, one way or another. And I shouldn't have done this. That shouldn't have been my act. But you know what would make me madder than anything else to pick up the phone, start dialing it, be a busy signal? I should have looked at it like this. That's money in my pocket, as long as that thing's going beep, beep, beep like that. It's money in my pocket. But I'm here to tell you tonight that in the calling of to God and the calling of God, there is no busy signal. Is the hand of the Lord shortened that it cannot save? Or is his ear heavy that he cannot hear? Aren't we thankful today that the God of heaven rules and reigns, and say to ourselves that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. May the Lord bless you.